What's up, everybody? It is Friday, June 4th, and you are listening to the Pat McAfee Show 2.0. Pat's on his way over to SmackDown right now. We still got a great show from today. Darius Butler joins us live from the FanDuel Beach House down in Tampa. AJ Hawk, obviously, and new strength and conditioning coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Anthony Schlegel, joins the program as well for a great conversation. We appreciate you guys all for listening. Without further ado, let's get into it.
Big ass show today because, you know, it's the next show. It's the biggest show of the year because it's the next show.
That's right.
Okay, one game at a time, one show at a time mindset right here, live in Tampa Bay. Go Bolts.
Go Bolts.
Bolts, by the way. Do have a house in Tampa Bay. So, you know, me and Brett Michaels, big, big Lightning fan. Mm-hmm. I've heard Stamkos has a place right down the road here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They lost. Bruins won, though, in overtime in beautiful fashion. Last night, there was a lot of sports, okay? A lot of sports happenings. Mostly LeBron James losing in a round that wasn't the finals for the first time since 2010 when making the playoffs.
Wow.
LeBron James loses in the first round, six games into this thing, doesn't even force a game seven at home. No Anthony Davis, because the groin is a tough thing to come back from whenever you talk about athletics. And the issue now for the NBA is, what are they going to do? LeBron James, after the game, didn't even have a sense of anger. There didn't seem to be much angst, almost like he kind of understood the situation as soon as he saw Anthony Davis was hurt. And then, by the way, afterwards, says, I'm playing for a Toon Squad, dude.
Whoa!
And I'm playing fucking aliens, bro. I think, you know, in that movie Space Jam, LeBron is debuting his full-time movie acting chops. We've seen him in Sprite commercials. We've seen him in Nike commercials. Yep. We've seen him in the barbershop being a host of a show. This is the first time I think we're seeing him in a full movie, especially when it's being remade after Michael Jordan did. Him going, you know, and doing this acting thing is impressive to me. He has the ability to act. He has the ability to buy into a character, know a scene, know a role. I think personally, he should have at least acted upset last night. I think personally, there should have been just a little bit of a thespian in LeBron James. And I think he should have acted a little bit upset afterwards. But it was almost like the writing was on the wall this season, or series. Devin Booker's a stud. Obviously, Chris Paul is good. But none of it matters because the Brooklyn Nets are going to win. And people are going to be mad at me saying that because going into the season, I said, well, there's only going to be a couple teams that are going to win. It's going to be the Lakers. It's going to be the Clippers. Or at that time, we didn't even know the Nets. Now that all the teams and everybody like myself from the outside has predicted, oh, they're going to win, they're going to win, they're all out now. Do we care more about good team basketball in the NBA? No. Is that something we need to care about more? Is the NBA not just a superstar-driven league for success? It's actually good team basketball. We'll find out with the Brooklyn Nets. Don't just beat the fuck out of everybody. We'll follow along with that. Can't wait to see Space Jam. Wish LeBron acted a little bit upset. Anthony Davis, wish he was healthy. It doesn't seem like any of them are trying to be liked, though.
No,
you know, which is awesome. I like that. But now the NBA season's over for us. And
good season.
And nothing. It was a good season.
Yeah, good season, boys.
Way to get out there and ball.
Yeah.
It is very great to have somebody in studio yet again in the house. Every time we're down here in Florida, Florida resident joins at Boston Connor, at Ty Schmidt, myself, Zito, Foxy, all the boys back in Indianapolis who are plugged in via FaceTime, I think. I was going to say satellite, but I'm sure there's a satellite involved.
Might be satellite.
I'm sure there's a satellite involved. It's just fucking FaceTime. Ladies and gentlemen, 9-year NFL vet, host of Man to Man Pod, Everything DB, Darius J. Butler.
Yeah, man.
How you doing, Darius? It's great to have you with us, man. Let me tell you why. There's nothing really to talk about.
No.
But we haven't heard your thoughts on everything that there was to talk about this week. So now we get a chance to kind of rehash everything that has gone about this week and maybe some new updates. For instance, the Aaron Rodgers story was dead. You know, the only thing being talked about in the Aaron Rodgers stories was Miles Teller potentially getting into an altercation.
Yeah, potentially. All right,
that, mm-hmm.
We don't know the details.
We don't know the details. Yeah. Hey, we made that mistake before, didn't we?
1 week ago today.
We made it, and we ended up in E. You know, I think they called some dumbass guy. They called me in there. The Daily Mail, they called me a professional wrestler. In the Norwegian tabloids, I was getting sent pictures in Norway. I was being referred to as an agitator or something. I forget what the word was. It was in their language, and maybe it meant something different, but I got buried for that. We don't know. Okay, TMZ. Had the Maui police call them, I assume, or they called the Maui police or the hospital, and they had their story, okay? That was evidently wrong. I was never told. I was then told by Miles, who told me in a shot, whatever. Nothing's really come out of that story. Rob Domofsky, okay? Green Bay Packer insider for ESPN. I think him and Aaron actually have a pretty good relationship.
Okay.
I believe so, yep.
He comes out in an interview in Chicago, okay? He was doing an interview in Chicago, Illinois, and he says... He doesn't see at this point how Aaron comes back to the Packers. Seems like he's too, like, maybe
dug in
in his ways or something like that. That's big news. Yeah. Okay, so now an ESPN reporter who has a pretty good relationship with Aaron, does he know more than us? I'd assume at this point, I think we maybe burned that relationship with Miles Teller's little story situation.
Shit.
By the way, don't fucking care. I'm sorry, Miles. I wish you didn't get jumped. That's bullshit. I don't like it, but you could have handled it differently. But not neither here nor there. He's gone, it sounds like.
Uh-oh.
Darius, are you learning about this for the first time because you maybe didn't know that old Robert Domofsky existed? Or did you know Robert Domofsky existed? And what are your thoughts on this? Do you agree with his thought? And really, this is something we're just learning about today, so it's actually kind of something new to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, not familiar with old Rob, but...
Rob does good work.
Big fan. Yes, you familiar?
I mean, I've seen Robert Domofsky's work, and people say, that son of a bitch... He's going
to work.
He's going to work.
Okay, he might be accumulating some shit then. So,
he
came to his conclusion that A-Rod won't be there, man. And last time I was here, I think it was like a 30% chance I gave it that he retires. But I see him playing ball. But I still see him coming back to the Packers now.
Yeah.
I see him coming back.
The interesting thing about him coming back to the Packers is how do you get past that awkward stage? You know, there's going to be an awkward stage. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are going to have the same type of thing happen with the offensive line. I feel like if you have success.
The Bulls did it.
What's that?
The Bulls did it. I mean, everybody hated their GM.
Oh, crumbs.
You know what I mean?
You're talking about Jerry Krause.
Yeah, Jerry Krause, Hall of Famer, by the way.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. You're not getting six ships without him.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying. That's what Jerry Krause is saying.
Yeah.
And people forget. Jerry Krause got painted in an interesting light in that whole thing. There were some people.
Fucked it up.
That's Zito. See, Zito didn't.
Zito brought you six rings.
Yeah,
he took away two more. Could have had eight.
And also, I mean, the way Scottie Pippen was portrayed in that thing wasn't great either. He was trending today. People were calling LeBron Scottie Pippen in this. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's an insult to Pippen. Yes,
wow.
Zito.
Zito. Zito.
Sorry.
Come on.
Zito. I'll turn my mic off. How happy are the Jordan fans, huh? You guys are loving every moment of this.
So happy. They're trying to throw away like a wizard stat where Jordan had made the playoffs or something two times. It was like the guy donated his check for 9/11 victims that like those couple years.
Oh, okay.
Like, come on.
You're going to put that in there.
All away. Like, what else could the guy do, you know?
Hey, the LeBron haters. Okay, and I don't want to get back to LeBron here. Because that Aaron stuff is a big deal, but it's not.
Until something actually
It'll be
happens.
Another report.
Yeah.
3 days from now.
AJ might come on here in 50 minutes and say, got a text, actually. Things are looking good.
It's
that might
back.
Happen.
Yeah, good.
We have no idea if that's going to happen. The LeBron haters, though, last night. I mean, the 6 minute when he had to go poop, they were starting to blossom.
You know,
they were starting to come out. Then last night, just... They were down 24 early. They end up losing by 13. There was a little bit of a run there.
A little fight.
LeBron put on the gas a little bit in the third quarter. It seemed like he was starting to do his thing or whatever. But they never – the Suns didn't blink, right? They just continued. They end up winning by 13. The LeBron haters got excited about it. And Zito is one of the biggest ones because he's from Chicago, so he feels obligated to cheer for Jordan instead or whatever. Even though I don't even – how old were you when Jordan
Yeah, exactly.
How old matters. Which one?
Oh, jeez. Such a good response there. People in the post-game press conference, I was like, yeah, all right. I can see why people potentially hate LeBron, but goddamn, first time since 2010 where getting bounced out of the playoffs is in something other than the finals.
That's absurd.
That's absolutely. I mean, I don't think he'll be appreciated until he's done. And MJ, I mean, MJ had haters too. It just, you know, it's just different with social media. And most guys, honestly, most people you see talk about, you know, MJ and Bron, they probably never seen Jordan miss a jumper. They probably never seen him have a bad game. Like, it's all, you compare one guy's career and it's broken down every day. Guys have made a whole life off of talking about LeBron. So it's crazy, but I'm a Bron guy. MJ guy as well, but
yeah, you're literally wearing like a Chicago Bulls outfit, right?
Yeah, you're not a LeBron guy.
I'm a LeBron guy. I didn't like him walking off the court like that.
He had to poop.
That's like the
had to poop.
Yeah,
I felt some kind of.
Last night he didn't have to poop, and I didn't like. I obviously was not up for that. Okay.
Yeah, it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
There's no chance I was going to be up for that, and I think everybody knew that was going into that game, and the NBA knew that if this thing doesn't get tight quick and it's not a boat race, there's probably a lot of people that aren't going to see the end of this. The whole non-shaking hands thing. I don't know the NBA well enough. I guess I should. Hockey, for instance, yeah, after a series like the...
That's what it is, yeah. Same thing.
It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, in hockey, it's a massive... These dudes potentially just fought each other, and then it's like... Let's put our swords aside.
Hey.
Right. For the good of the game. Let's just... And then in The Last Dance, right, it was the Isaiah... That was a big thing. Is it a big thing in the NBA to do the handshake thing? And why didn't that happen? Why did LeBron just bounce?
In the NBA, like, they don't shake hands after any other game until the series is over. Like, after, you know, game one, game two, game four, whatever, they walk off. But after it's over, it's like, you know, whoever won, you know, dap them up. And think, you know, knowing him and Chris Paul's relationship.
On banana boats.
Oh, yeah. Devin Booker just, you know, dropped 47 almost. Like, hey, you know, just that. Just something.
Well, he gave him his
afterwards,
jersey.
Yeah, that was
there
dope.
Was an entire behind the scenes thing, but
that was dope.
I do wonder, like, hey, LeBron, you are the game. You know what I mean? So that is kind of like a maybe he doesn't want it to happen anymore. Maybe say, listen, this is something that we don't want to happen anymore. Maybe LeBron wants to stop tradition. That's what people will say that hate LeBron by.
Yeah, could be a COVID scare thing too. He's not vaccinated yet. So, I mean, you know, we don't know. We don't.
He's not.
He does,
I don't think so.
As far as I know, he is not.
Hey, down here in Florida, you don't even got to do that.
No.
Hell no.
Why
don't?
In Indiana, you know, the only stadium that has not been granted to say that they could have full capacity by the time. Lucas Oil, the only one here. Local governing authority says, nah. The mayor in Indy says, hey, listen, on my time, pal. All right? I need to see some more numbers. Okay? Maybe he's right in that whole thing. But in Indiana, you got to walk into a place and you get a little look and you just got to, like, literally, it's like a quick.
Still a lot of masks up there?
Yeah. Like, it's.
In Indianapolis.
It is slowly slowing. In Indianapolis, it is, though, where, you know, it's like, it's slowly, like, kind of rolling out, it feels like. But down here, you don't even got to do the.
No.
Hey, I got one. Everybody should say you're good.
You look weird with a mask on down here now.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Even at home. Thank God. Hey, I'm excited. But the mandate's getting lifted in Indy. Maybe that's what.
Here we go.
Here we go. Waiting for, you know?
Well, people could say if, you know how you can deem something post-June 1.
Oh.
The football season's in the fall. That would be post-June 6th.
Okay.
Whenever the mandate is being lifted. So, got a little foresight. But, hey, he's got a lot on his plate. Yeah, he's got more numbers than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay,
he's got a different virus than everybody else in Indianapolis.
Yeah. He knows. Okay. He's probably getting another round of data coming soon. And then once that comes through.
Come on, Jim just promised to open the roof.
Well, hold on. Let's not do that, okay? It's a lot better when that thing's closed and the window is shut. Let's go ahead and have that thing at 70 degrees, no wind. That place is beautiful. Ain't that right, D-Butt?
Love it, man. NBA, I'm just thinking about it. NBA's losing a lot of money now because you got the Lakers out now.
Oh, a lot of money.
Yeah. You got
every
the
day.
Knicks out.
Yeah.
Who else? You got my Heat. You got South Beach out. Who we got? We got Utah left.
Clippers are going to be out, right?
Denver.
Yeah, they're down 3-2. So if they lose tonight,
Clippers
they're down.
Clippers going to be, yeah. It's going to be a lot of small market teams.
All right, let's continue the NBA conversation. And I know the fact that we got Darius here who is a big time NBA fan. Mm-hmm. Could play in the NBA, by the way.
Bar.
I've seen him. I've seen a guy play.
Mm-hmm. Wild highlights.
Incredible highlights.
Yeah.
Once again, though, to his point, we don't see any other plays.
Now, don't see the misses.
Oh, it's true.
Hey, see, I don't believe that there's any.
It's true.
I don't believe that there's any potential you know, lack of effort out there.
Oh,
I don't think that's not something Darius would ever
air
do.
Balls.
I don't think there's any of those.
Nope. Okay,
Maybe a missed pass.
Not
maybe
getting back on defense.
Couple turnovers.
You get stripped. You get stripped out
definitely
there?
Take a couple possessions off on defense these days.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Lack zone. Of effort in there.
Yeah. For sure.
And by the way, we don't need to see that. You know what I mean?
No. Nobody wants to see that.
Only the Bangers survive. But big time basketball fan. So nobody's really thinking like, hey, I want to hear what Pat McAfee has to say about the NBA. But I'll tell you what. Everything I've been saying about the NBA seems like it's going to be coming true. Trae Young is going to try to get to the Knicks.
Yep.
Zion Williamson's going to try to get to the Knicks. Okay. Dame Lillard, Dame Dalla, best rapper in athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it.
Dame's out of there.
He's gone, dude.
Yeah, hopefully.
Just a year ago, he was. It was like, hey, he ain't ever going anywhere. This is this guy.
Loyal.
And everybody was like, cool. That's awesome. This guy's loyal. That's very cool. But me, as somebody who like doesn't watch the NBA on a day to day, and maybe doesn't follow the Trailblazers as much, I would maybe if they like got to the big like you know they
big stage.
They did the whole thing, and they're like, no, he's not going to do it. He wants to build that team, put it on his back or whatever. It's like, okay, but the way the NBA is going, he needs to get out of there, doesn't he? I love his loyalty. It's great. I hope if he does it, awesome. They're going to try to get him out of there. And it seems like, hey, he's quoting Nipsey Hussle here. He's like, how long should I stay dedicated? Maybe he's thinking about...
Question mark.
Oh.
And then obviously, how long till opportunity meet preparation, which is the luck, the old luck quote is, you know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity or whatever. So I don't know what he's implying here. Is Damian Lillard going to retire instead of play somewhere else?
No.
Darius, is that what he's... How long should I stay dedicated? Or is that dedicated to Portland? What do you think?
I'm thinking Portland, man. Because, I mean...
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
You saw that.
Oh, sorry, Portland.
That, man, that double nickel game he had, it was... I mean, it was ridiculous. And, like, his team gave him... They were, like, 1-17, 1-19 or something down the shit in overtime. So it's tough. And he's been loyal. And he's spoken about it plenty of times. But in today's NBA, you just talked about it earlier with the Nets. Like, you know, he can be loyal for another, you know, 8 years, but he won't sniff a chip because guys are linking up. And nobody's going to Portland to play with him.
Whoa,
so.
Portland's beautiful. They got you should see the woods they have.
Yeah.
Hey, the wood that they have up there, beautiful views.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that fan base up there, too. Hey, listen, Pacific South Northwest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're rowdy.
They play no games. You can get out there. The house you could buy in Portland, I assume. Oh, and one of those NBA max contracts? Well, you could have probably a part of an entire community up there in Portland.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? With the beautiful lumber in the back. Mountains. Is there mountains in Portland?
Probably.
I'd assume.
There's woods.
I'd assume pretty good rain, too. It's going to be green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Very lush.
But with that being said, the owners would have to decide to do that, to pay everybody to come in there. I don't know if that's going to happen. That hasn't seemed to happen yet, but maybe it is Portland and not the decision being made.
Well, if we're talking about fans being too wild, doesn't Portland have, you know, all the psychedelics and everything legalized now?
Yeah.
So if, you know, you're an NBA player, meth,
yeah.
Crack, LSD, acid, dope.
Heroin.
So you just walk in the store and just order?
No, I don't think you can do that.
Oh.
I think
yet.
Whoa. I don't know if that... I don't know.
I don't know the regulations, but I'm just saying.
We're not lawyers.
No.
Okay? We're not paralegals. We have not Tom Pelissero through the memo of what that law actually consists of, but I think if you're caught with someone on you, it's not like going to jail.
Right.
Thing. I'm not 100% sure if you can just walk into CVS diner and say, hey, two things of meth. Nah. Because you just get carded for what? Cough syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're out in the country somewhere where meth is, and I don't know if big city people know this or whatever, if there is a massive meth problem in there, they will start like IDing you for things that are potential recipe ingredients for the meth. It's almost like a shot, by the way, by the cashier that is working at Walmart telling you, you gonna make meth with this?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, fucking chill out, dude. All right, I respect everything you're a part. Okay, I appreciate what you're doing, but you're accusing me of making meth right now. Yeah. I think I'd like to just fucking get my throat back. All right, I'd like to go to sleep. How do we do this whole thing? That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Look at that mountain up there.
That's gorgeous.
For those that are wondering, that
you
are listening
Miami.
On Sears.
Yeah.
See what Miami looks like, Zeke. You see that backdrop? Come on, man. No income tax.
I would assume Portland, you know.
How are they? They probably got the same.
I would assume they have very high taxes. I would just guess.
Yeah, if they're running, people run around, you know, cooking meth and snorting blow, yeah. They probably should have a pretty high income tax.
All right, let's... I don't know how the. I don't think we're talking about income tax.
So they're not, you know, buying that stuff.
I think the overall tax ideals over there are much higher, I think, than in the state of Florida. I'm not 100% sure. And I do believe that the reason why I'm feeling that ipso facto type thing is because of everything we just said about the what.
That's pretty nice, too. Okay.
Is that water? Yeah, that's a lot.
No mountains.
A couple yachts over there.
Hey, that stadium does look good. You remember when that used to be Wade County, Dwayne Wade, and Shaq, and everybody was running wild down there? Oh, man, it was a good time. What was that, like 2008, 2009?
You know, Wade came in, what, 03? We had a nice run. Won our first chip in 06. Then, you know, the Heatles got formed, and then we had another run.
The Celtics won the championship in between there, too.
Celtics didn't win it. They got a big three.
You guys don't even have a fucking coach. Shut up.
Whoa. We got a coach. Shut up. He's in the front office now.
Now he's the front office.
Now we got two coaches.
Bro, that guy got burned out so bad of coaching in Boston, he fucking quit. He's 25 years old, that coach. He said, I'm burnt out of coaching. He's supposed to be the next great coach. He's supposed to be the next, who's that dude downtown Indianapolis? He's taking a knee with all the legs around him.
John Wooden.
This guy's supposed to be the next John Wooden. All right.
I think Indiana offered him like $70 million or something like that to come coach Indiana University.
He's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be the guy. He got burned out so much from being in Boston. He said, I can't fucking do it anymore. Get me out of this coaching. Get the whistle out of my hand, okay? Get me in a goddamn corporate meeting room now. I can't do this anymore. You guys sucked the life out of the future greatest coach of all time, Brad Stevens.
We did not. The bubble did. I mean, he's already top 50 in wins all time, I'm pretty sure. Brad Stevens had a hell of a career. He's going to have a better career as a front office member. Danny Ainge said he was born to do this. I wouldn't be surprised if Dame Lillard's coming over to Boston, play with old Jason Tatum.
Oh, Jason Tatum and Dame would be a hell of a... But
that would be a hell of a win.
That would, You like Tatum? You like Tatum as a player?
Like Tatum. Needs another piece around him, though.
Yeah.
Love Tatum, though.
Jaylen Brown.
Good player.
Yeah, give him the rock.
Big hit.
He laughed in your face.
Why are you laughing at Taco?
Well, Darius, what's that all about?
Nah, I want to know how you really feel about Brad Stevens, you know, not being able to get over the hump with 15 guys, so moving to the front office, so now he has to manage the whole fucking building. So how do you feel?
I mean, it doesn't make much sense, but, you know, you bring in Jason Kidd. You have Jason Kidd run the boys around and teach them how to win.
Just curious how
makes
you guys
no sense, though. That's how it feels.
Hey, Darius, you're not a big fan of what just happened there in Boston?
I mean, it's just... when do you see that work? Elway, I think he kind of, you know, fired himself and then moved up. Did Larry Bird do that?
Larry Bird was the GM, then the president of operations, I think, and then he was the GM again, and then he was gone, then he was back. I think the Pacers are like, hey, Larry, anytime you want to come around, do whatever you want to do. Come on back. Now, he did it with the Celtics too, right?
Not with the Seas, but he was a coach before he moved into GM, and Jordan beat him.
He had a...
I mean, Larry, you know Larry Legend. He's kind of earned that.
The Legend.
I love Larry.
The Legend. I got a chance to chat with him because he was, I think he was president or GM with the Pacers. I was doing something with local news or whatever, and I got a chance to chat with him. And it was just casual conversation with him. We were being recorded. He knew we were being recorded, but he didn't want to stand and do the whole thing. So we were just sitting while they were doing practice or whatever, just sitting in like one of the arena seats. He was just like super chill. And I go, you ever shoot anymore? I go, no, like hell no or whatever. I was like, how could you shoot? He said, better than everybody you fucking see on the
Hey, one of the greatest shit talkers ever, man.
I laughed so hard. I laughed so hard. It was... I'm like, man, you are the greatest. And then as more stories come out about him, it's just like...
The three-point contest thing is hilarious. He shows up.
Who's second or whatever.
Wins in warm-ups.
The left-hand shit was... Like, he told the team, like, yeah, I'm saving my right hand for the Lakers. Some shit.
25 or 30.
Yeah, he had like 40.
He's only left-handed.
Like, bro, I got to fight you. We got to get ejected.
He's the last one to win three straight MVPs, too, I'm pretty sure.
Straight.
Listening to... What was it? It was Magic and Bird, right? They did that on...
HBO.
It was in Magic talking about. He said, "Hey, we see, there's a white one.
Yeah,
hey, there's a white. He's doing everything I'm doing. He's in Indiana. That's like
Indiana
that is
state.
By the way, that's how a real locker room would still act, would always act, and how the whole thing goes. It's like, hey, the whites got one.
They got one.
He still doesn't give a fuck about anything. He had a seat in the Pacers Banker's Life, and before that, it was the something field.
Fieldhouse?
Something.
Canseco? No.
Yeah, was Canseco. It was Canseco and then Banker's Life, and then he had a seat that was in the corner by where they go into the locker room, but it was up a little bit so he could see everything. And then it felt like there was never anybody that sat in front of him or behind him, and then the whole place was just sort of, he's just sitting there. And he would just get up randomly, and I'm like, I wonder where he goes. They're like, oh, he's going to smoke two cigarettes real quick.
Oh, man.
He's coming back in. I was like, oh, I thought he was going to, like, watch film, fire somebody, like, make a call, maybe trade somebody in the middle of the game. He'd, like, get up. I'm like, where's he going? Like, oh, he's going to smoke some butts right back.
Yeah.
That guy's awesome.
Beast.
Dude. What a legend, man.
Especially when they were playing the Heat during, like, the Paul George time. I remember there being, like, big moments and everyone going nuts, and they cut to Lair, and he doesn't give a fuck.
Sitting there, dude.
Yeah.
Stone cold.
Not even the finals. I don't care.
Let's get to a break. Before we get to a break, sorry. We have to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
We legitimately have to celebrate. Gumpy is back.
Yes!
Go Gump. Okay.
The Hammer Down Boys go live 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Daylight Time. I'm sorry. I got to get that right. There is a difference. Standard is fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
Daylight is spring and summer.
Yep.
Okay.
So we are, I think. I mean, I've been told both. I've been corrected on both sides by two different people that told me they were smart. So I think I am right in this particular one. 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. YouTube.com/HammerDahn. That's HammerDahn. A couple of degenerates in our office do a show daily. They give out picks. They've been winning and winning and winning and winning. And then guess what? A slump slapped them right in their fucking mouth.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay.
Happens to the best.
Yeah, it does. It happens to everybody, by the way. That's why what they were doing with this show, I thought they were lying to my face. Like every day I asked them how they're doing. He went 3-1 or whatever. I'm like, you got to be lying. They were doing that for real. Gumpy was in the pits. He was miserable to be around. Okay. Yeah. He was not upbeat. He was not the same old, lively, hilarious, fun-loving Gumpy, because he was taking it on shins on Twitter because he was losing. Last night, fucking Gumpy's back. Gumpy, how do you feel, Gumpy? That's got to feel pretty good, pal. They were counting you out. They're saying you were dead. Undertaker gif. How you doing? Keep it moving, huh?
Hey, we always bounce back, Pat. We needed it 4-0 night. Roll that into the weekend and stay hot.
Tales of your demise were greatly exaggerated, my friend. COVID Cowboy Tone Diggs, how you feeling? Are you winning still, or are you just laughing at Gump, or are you winning alongside of him? What's going on? Has the slump shifted to the Italian kid from Pittsburgh?
No, I had a good night too last night. The slump was like, what, a day or two?
Yeah.
Not really a slump over here. I mean, we're still on top of the world on the MLB betting. I wouldn't doubt us.
Okay. So, by the way, you are the standard, you know? So, like, when you have a bad day or two compared to what you guys had been doing, you know, that can't become the new normal, I think, is what everybody's saying. It's like, hey, there's a lot of people giving out losing picks all the fucking time.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I may or may not be one of those people. In certain situations, you know, just because, you know, my emotions get involved a little bit too much.
It happens.
You guys are calculated. You take emotions out of this thing, and you are becoming a bankroll for people, Tone. Do you look in the mirror and say, you know what? Not a bad guy I am. Is that what you're saying these days, Tone?
I do that a lot, actually, Pat. I mean, like, I'm glad you brought that up. The standard is the standard. It's what Mike Tomlin says all the time. And, you know, when he doesn't, you know, win a Super Bowl or potentially go to the AFC Championship, everyone yells at him for that. And we have one losing, two losing nights. Everyone does the same for us. But I like to think I'm a pretty good guy.
Let's get to a break. I like to think you're a pretty good guy too, pal.
Hey, it's funny you said the stories of our demise are greatly exaggerated, because I said the same exact thing on the show yesterday.
Well, because you guys are back, huh?
Yeah, it feels like it. Till tonight.
No.
You're back.
We're back.
People go through many changes as we get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
For men, one of the less fortunate changes is that testosterone production begins to naturally decrease in the body. Did you know this, AJ?
I am aware.
For most men, it begins around the age of 30. And testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year.
My Whoa. God.
So if you live to 130, you ain't got shit left.
No. Minus 30.
Well, if it starts around 30, this is one of those questions on a test where, you know, begins around 30, and the testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year. So does it start at zero or does it start at 30? That's the thing. This is where they can get you.
It's one of them damn word problems.
This is one of those problems where you're like, well, wait a minute. Which, can I ask a follow-up? Anyways, I was good at those tests because I always viewed it as me versus the fucking teacher.
That's right.
Okay? I don't know what's going on, but this is me versus you. Fuck you. That's how I view it. That's why friends at Roman have a new supplement designed to support testosterone production. I did not know this. They formulated their own supplements with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. You hear this, AJ? Roman's testosterone supplement is for anyone who wants to support their own body's natural function. They formulated their own blend with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/USA. Their supplement contains vitamin D3, zinc, magnesium, mica, and ashwagandha in a unique blend designed by healthcare professionals that you can't get anywhere else. To learn more about these incredible ingredients, visit GetRoman.com/USA. Roman is offering $15 off your first order and will deliver your supplements right to your door with free two-day shipping. When you go to GetRoman.com/USA, get $15 off your first order plus free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/USA. That's good news. Let's try that stuff.
Okay.
I've been looking for that type of stuff.
That's good news. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Now we know.
Hey, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman. Rob Domofsky has come out and said he doesn't see how Aaron goes back. He seems to be too dug in. He said that on a Chicago radio show. I think,
wasn't Waddle and
Cap and Hood.
Yeah.
Hey, Cap and Hood, for that good... If you could, you should and would listen to them in Chicago.
Yeah.
Domofsky was talking in enemy territory. Okay. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields actually said that one of his friends got drafted to the wrong team, the Packers. So I guess that's a massive beef in this whole thing. Rob Domofsky says he ain't coming back. He's too dug in. We didn't know if you had potentially texted Aaron and got any information since this report has come out. Do you think he's too dug in? AJ Hawk, the man who was in the Kentucky Derby picture with his hand being displayed right over his wife's shoulder.
Well, I think Bob Domofsky, first off, he does great work. I think he's got his ear to the streets or the ear to the train track, whatever you want to call it, however Connor says it.
Or the ground, ear to the ground, I think.
There you go. To the grindstone. But he's dialed in, but I think, don't you think he probably
just put the face down in there, though. Sorry about that, AJ. Go ahead.
He's probably saying this because, like, we haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything from either side, from Aaron, from the front office, really. I mean, we've heard what LaFleur has said, how he wants him back in the worst way and all of this, but there just hasn't been any development. So I think everyone probably feels like the longer we go, how are we going to work this thing out?
Well, the only developments we're going to get, though, and Darius said this earlier, he said, when's AJ Hawk going to fucking tell us something?
Yes. That's exactly what I said.
That's what Darius said. And I think that's what Bob Domofsky is probably thinking too. Matt Schneidman, talking about
Lily Zhao.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just waiting on the good word from AJ Hawk. Maybe Miles Teller come out. Hey,
yeah, here we go.
Maybe Miles Teller give a little heads up. Do we know anything about this? We don't know anything about this situation, huh?
No, I mean, there's been no developments, and I haven't spoke with Aaron. I'm kind of like you in this situation. I'm trying to stay away because I don't.
Smart.
There's no reason for me to sit there, and he's not a source to me, as Rap Sheet wanted to say.
Okay, so this is very smart, I think. Like you not asking him questions because you don't want to know the answers. And don't want to be the one like, hey, I'm not going to be the mouthpiece for you. We're friends. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get involved in this. There's a lot on the line. I like and respect that a lot. And what you're also saying there, though, and this is what I say about my friends that I don't want to go ask them. Maybe there is information getting out, though, to other people from, you know what I mean? Just because AJ isn't hearing it, or if somebody I'm close to has news happening and I'm not hearing it, that's because AJ, it sounds like you're choosing not to ask or hear anything. Is that fair to say? And maybe Bobbert Domofsky does have intel from a very high situation, or you think this is him reading the situation?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's some of both. Maybe I'm sure it's him just reading the situation and being around the facility all the time. But yeah, like that's, I mean, there's not like you think Aaron has like a clear cut plan where he's going to lay out for somebody like, hey, Aaron, how do we make this better? And he has like a 5-step process of what they have to do.
Okay, so AJ Hawk says Aaron does not have a 5-step plan right. on what they could do. Okay. We will now wait for.
What is it, 6? It might be 6.
Okay, or 7. Yeah. Hey, however many enter. By the way, remember to enter. Remember to enter because however many you want. You know what I mean? However many you want to guess, there's potentially in here. But, all right, so we're just going to act like we know nothing. Bob, I have a lot of respect for Rob Domofsky.
Love him.
I love Rob Domofsky.
Thank you, Rob.
I assume Rob's going to see this. There was some more news that came out this morning, AJ. And you're not really affected by this, I don't think. They're taking Tortall away from the goddamn NFL. Have you heard this? Do you think this is my fault, potentially, for being the, like... Yeah. The cheerleader for Tortall in this whole situation?
Yeah, and just exactly how you are the anti-cheerleader for the Bengals, exposing the fact that they don't have an indoor facility. You are that to give great pub to Tortall and say how amazing it is, and you continue to mention it show after show. So, yeah, I figured it was time they're going to take some action. They're really going to dig in because you have really brought it to light, I guess, for people that didn't know about it.
Darius, you said that
so current players all are going to want to fight you now. For sure.
Whoa. No, this is not me. No. I'm not the current player or former player, by the way.
You're a big part of it, though. You're the guy.
No. Actually, it's
you're
not me.
You're the old stooge. You're the old retired stooge that says, oh, back in my day. Oh,
No. You know whose fault it is, though? There's actually a picture of three men. Yeah. Okay, there are three men that are being pictured alongside of this thing. And I don't think they're necessarily pumped about that either. I think they're supposed to just be answering questions. Former teammate of mine, Andy Studebaker.
Oh.
Andy Studebaker.
Andy.
Friend of mine. I wonder if Studi, you know, potentially. Was he the spearhead in this whole thing? Is Andy?
What they think. But don't you believe that they, if they are against it, they're saying, hey, you will thank me later in life. That's probably what they're saying.
And Darius and I talked about this in 2012 was the year, you think?
Yeah, I believe so.
2012, whenever they came out and they said, like, hey, Tortall, we might have to stop this thing. And who knows what does your liver and kidney and I think every
but
other.
Then they said, but then they didn't they say they'll still offer you to take the Tortall pill, which I guess doesn't work nearly as much. That'll still affect your kidneys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then they backed off of it completely. I mean, they backed off of it completely at some point. And Darius said he took it. And Darius said something that was very interesting, too. Darius said that I was in the era of when the pain killers were being used, like pretty lackadaisical. I mean, I did see a couple situations where I was like, wow, it feels like you're getting access to something that you shouldn't, I guess, a couple times. But was that widespread? Instead of Tortall over there, was there a lot of, I don't, maybe not the doctors promoting it, but were guys trying to find other shit to try to mask, you know, pain or anything like that?
I mean, guys would definitely try to, but that's the thing. Like I said before, in Green Bay, they're so conservative with everything. They would never, you didn't have the doctor walking down there, hey, you're throwing pill vials to people like you see in movies or you hear about on other teams. So I definitely knew of it. I got in the league in 06, talking to buddies on other teams. It was definitely like that at certain places.
Darius and I were talking. I after my surgeries, you take it, you know, and that's the only reason why I was able to watch that show with your favorite actor in it, you know, because I was kind of laid up or whatever.
Your
but
buddy.
Nothing.
Oh, your boy Spacey. Yeah, he got a new role. Did you congratulate him on his new role?
Your boy.
Anyways.
Your guy.
I never. I don't pound the desk and say he's my favorite actor.
You text him.
Listen, I don't wear a pinky ring anymore, but
FaceTime.
When Frank Underwood did the double tap with his pinky ring with his high school graduation military academy ring. That shit was about to fucking pop off on that show. Little did I know it was happening in real life too. I didn't know that at the time, but anyways, I couldn't poop. Okay, I don't know how people get past that whole thing. But also, I guess Tortall, I feel like works much differently than the painkillers. And by the way, not a doctor. Believe it or not,
I have PhDs.
What's that?
You have PhDs.
I have. Different philosophies of things.
Yes.
Okay, PhDs, philosophy degrees or whatever the hell that is. But I think the way they operate is differently. The painkiller, I think it shuts off something in your brain so it doesn't feel the pain, I think. I think that is what it does. The Tortall, that thing felt like it hit my whole body. Yeah, you know, man, I mean, it felt like my whole... So I think there's a difference between the anti...
Isn't Tortall an anti-inflammatory?
Yeah, there's a difference between the anti-inflammatory and the pill. And I think the anti-inflammatory, right, that seems to be much better for you than maybe the painkiller.
But guys aren't going to be – they're not worried that guys are going to be all hopped up on Vicodin and Percocet playing games now because they can't get Toradol, I would imagine.
Well, and does this younger crew even know? You know, like you said, you came in, you heard stories. When we came in, we heard stories. Like, is the younger generation – I don't know. Darius, you might –
I don't know. Maybe they care about their – maybe they're more conscious, care about their body more. But, I mean, shit, we were just trying to get – no, get to
you care about your
game.
Body right now, yeah. Don't you? You're playing in the league. I care about how my body feels.
How did
right
you have
stay in the league?
Hey,
right
you, now. AJ,
what?
Torn pec,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Torn right. calf,
yeah.
Popped groin,
yeah.
Broken every single finger,
yeah. Yeah.
Needed like four knee surgeries.
I didn't break any. I've never broken any finger.
No, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's ligament. It's ligament damage. It's
going to hell.
Put your hands up.
Torn pec. He said, by the way, he had black and blue all down his entire arm. Ugh. So it was like legit. Bleeding? Yeah. Bleeding. Right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, under the skin. Yeah. That's when I woke up and I was like, oh, this may be something.
This may be something. Yeah. You missed one game that entire time. What did you do? You just stared it down. You're the lady giving birth with no pain.
No epidural.
Like, how are you?
I never had it. It's because I never had it, so I never knew what it felt like to have Toradol. So that's just you just learn. That's just what you do. Like what else? What else am I going to do? I enjoy playing. I want to be out there. Why would I not?
Here's the official report out of Ian Rappaport. It was also a Pro Football Talk article. Amazing. Ian Rappaport, though, an NFLPA memo went to players on the use of Toradol via the Joint Pain Management Committee. In the memo, due to the risk of Toradol causing major bleeding, really?
Uh-oh.
Toradol should not be used prior to, during, or after NFL games or practices as a means of reducing anticipated pain. No, it's anti-inflammatory. That's what it'll... I mean, it... As means of reducing anticipated pain, people would be like, "Are you taking this to do reduce anticipated pain?"
Absolutely.
No.
Just make them. Hey, just make them sign the waiver.
Absolutely.
But anyways, down here is the players that are part of the Joint Pain Management Committee, and Studebaker's that first one right on top. Right on top.
Yeah, give him a call.
That's oh, my God. About oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Got his email, too.
Hey, Studi does not deserve that. Did Rappaport tweet that?
Yeah.
Once again, Studi, this is not my report. Okay.
Hope it's his office line. Yeah. Hope it's an office line, not a cell.
Oh,
either way.
My, I didn't even see that. I thought
it's been up on the net since, what, 2 days? What, yeah. This morning?
Oh,
speaking
man.
Of which, I think a similar situation actually happened to AJ yesterday. He sent something to Bakhtari, and he posted the picture, and AJ's address was right on there.
AJ, we know where you live now.
Really? Was it really?
Oh, yeah. I retweeted it. He deleted it immediately. Someone was like, hey, I know it's blacked out. But we can see AJ's address. So he took it down and put it back up.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Billy Tubes is coming
yeah,
over.
Yeah, good luck. Hey.
You know come I mean? On down, buddy. We are prepared. Come on down.
Whoa, what does that
whoa,
mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean, dude?
Ready? You got to be ready for anything, man. You know that.
Oh, yeah, of course, dude. Got to be ready. Let's not get distracted here, though, because we kind of did there with
good.
A Rappaport kind of, you
but
know.
But the Toradol thing. Doxing. Go back to Toradol. Hey, don't you think they're just going to make guys
no, how'd you play? How'd you play? What'd you do? You
I never knew
more...
what it's like to have Toradol.
Would you eat your Wheaties in the morning, like dude? You ate your Wheaties? You had your vitamins? Like, what the fuck did
I
you...
do something. You had to do something.
How are you superhuman? How did you... How
no,
did...
you take what... My Toradol was 4 Advil, 2 Tylenol before games.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there we go. All right. So now we figured it out. All right.
Yeah. That made me feel just so warm. And over my whole body just felt amazing after that. No, I'm joking. Didn't feel anything. I drank, you know what I drank? Alka-Seltzer. I drank Alka-Seltzer before games, too. That's an anti-cramp mechanism.
Really? Because remember, they used to show up with, what was it, way back in the day, bananas?
Coconut
pickle
water?
Juice. Bananas, yeah, pickle juice.
Oranges.
I never had an issue cramping, but Brian Engel, Flea, a great trainer in Green Bay, and Nate Weir, they both turned me on to it. And I still, every once in a while, just for old time's sakes, I'll drink some Alka-Seltzer. Reminds me of game day.
Put on a helmet.
No helmet.
Yeah. Put on a helmet. Run your head into a wall or two. Go
never
grab every
that.
Advil bottle. Oh my God.
You guys talked about weed. Do you think that would be? I mean, it wouldn't be the you know the same effect as Toradol, but would that be like a reasonable replacement to Toradol?
Go ahead, dude.
Pre-game? There's nothing pre-game that's a replacement.
No. There you go. I mean, I would have to agree with that. I mean, I wouldn't smoke before a game.
Me neither.
But
by the way, me, I don't know why D-Butt wouldn't do it. I would practice and try things Very much. It's why I have the house. That it's literally the reason why I bought the house that I have, because it had a massive field in the back and I could kind of do that thing. But if I did it on a game and I fucked up, I always thought like, I don't want to have to sleep with,
yeah,
you know, like that. I don't want people to think that. But that we've talked about this before. There's some guys who can't play without it.
Some great players. I mean, everybody's different, though. Everybody's different. But like I said, the CBD, it's a natural thing that doesn't get you high. That could help. But a good old shot, man.
That's what I think they're going to give it.
Hey, I don't think it's going anywhere. I just think they're going to make you make sure like the waiver is foolproof. Like, hey, yeah, if something happens in the future, we're out of it.
I think 2012, they were trying to scare people out of it. Instead, it potentially exposed more people to it. Yeah, we're like, okay, let's go do that. And I don't know if this is going to be a similar situation, but the bleeding thing is a little bit alarming. And then I think as you read deeper, it was about concussions, I think, though. So, like, I think... I don't know. There's so much shit going on, man, with lawsuits, potential lawsuits, future lawsuits, current lawsuits. Anytime you get into the billion-dollar business, you know, there's going to be dumb shit, shady shit, and future shit you're going to have to deal with. That's what all this is about. And that's why, like, for instance, and Darius, I didn't get a chance to get your hear your take on this, and I respect the hell out of your... That race norming thing, did you hear about this fucking thing? How did that happen? Like, how does that happen? And by the way, I let off the show with it yesterday where I was like, I think a lot of people are learning a lot about the world that we live in, about how potential things could happen. I was very lucky to be in a locker room. I got a chance to go to some neighborhoods and communities that I would have never been to in the past, see things and learn things. And I think as the world kind of opens, that race norming thing, though, that is so dumb and disgusting. You're like, how does this be? That's because in every single contract negotiation that these savages get into, they're just trying to win by any means necessary. Yeah, and that's why, however, they're just trying to win and fuck over the other person. However, no matter how despicable and disgusting it is, and I think that is something that has to change in the future. Like, obviously, that whole entire thing has to change in the future, but also the way business is done has to be done differently. But that's why
that was fucking wild to read. To even just read the headline, you know, seeing that in 2021. The bigger issue, though, is, you know, that wasn't just them. That was like medically, like world, that was kind of accepted for a while. Like, okay, like the cognitive levels are different with this race and that race, which is, you know, absolutely crazy. But the lawyer, I think his name is Christopher Seeger.
He's representing the NFLPA?
Yeah, who was hired by the PA, who represented, I think his law firm might have raked in like $50 million in legal fees.
Damn.
Yeah,
And then you get that. And this shit would have never saw a light of day if it wasn't for the players' wives who actually was going through the red tape. Like, hold on, this is bullshit.
How about that guy coming out and saying, I was representing the players in this thing and I was wrong. I just know that... You know, a large majority, by the way, of the league's people, I was just completely spitting in their face. And it's like, what? Fuck you. Then you immediately, if you're a player now, you have to wonder, like, okay, who's representing me in everything?
Going forward.
In everything. If this is able to happen in one of the biggest settlements in the history of the NFL and the NFLPA, by the way, this was one of the biggest. If it's able to happen then, not that long ago, what other shit's happening currently with some?
Absolutely. You know,
it's just like, that's the type of, like, I'm a big, like, oh, if that's happening,
what else is happening,
you know? And it's hard not to do that.
And these are dudes dealing with dementia, like some real shit. So you're making it harder for them to get, you know, their money or help or whatever. Like, it's a dirty game, though. We know that.
Let's get back to the topic of dope, shall we, though? Mm. Let's please do that. Because I don't know if there will ever be, maybe there'll be a strand that is developed by some genius who has the green thumb. You know, they can get in there and just turn any piece of soil into something profitable. You know, somebody will get into the marijuana where it'll be able to be a replacement for Toradol, or there'll be something that'll be able to have that type of effect as an anti-inflammatory in how it works for guys and everything. But I think a marijuana treatment should be something that rolls into the NFL soon. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, they're doing like PTSD. Like, they're using ecstasy like in medical trials to treat PTSD for soldiers and everyone.
But I'm saying like their entire, like I think the NFL could. Now, obviously the NFL probably going to be behind on some things, and then they'll just catch up very quickly because that's what the NFL does. They kind of, it feels like the NFL lets other people kind of do their thing and then see it, and then they just, they do it. So as marijuana becomes more normal, especially as more research is done, says the gubernatorial debate in Indiana, like the NFL actually investing in their own scientists potentially to create things that players can either get or something like that to go alongside their arthritis that a lot of guys have to deal against or something like that. Like, I think that would be a pretty smart idea, but that, but what's that, 20 years away, you think?
Yeah.
30 years away?
Probably.
So what, until then, Toradol is going to be a part of the conversation. All the big pharma pills are always going to be a part of the conversation, because as bodies change and science evolves, there's always going to have to be remedies, though, for pain, which is never going away. That's just kind of how everything's going to happen.
It's said that you can't do it before games or practices anymore. Was there like a mandate on how much guys could take, or were there guys who would be, who would get Toradol every single day?
I don't know. I knew nobody. Like,
is there not every day?
Not every day for practice.
I knew nobody that got it every day. I night before and morning of, some people. I mean,
maybe Michael Jackson's doctor would give it to you every day, but no NFL doctor.
Hey, what was his name?
Conrad Murray.
Hey, he was giving surgery stuff. That's sleeping, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever come out of surgery and been like, oh,
feel good,
fucking refreshed.
Yeah. You know, took out Kanye's mom too.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's the same doctor.
Same doctor.
I might be lying.
No, that was down in like a different country, I feel like.
Kanye's mom.
But maybe he did actually. I think he may be connected to Kanye's mom somehow.
Yeah, I think they're somehow connected. I don't know how, but
it's crazy.
But so what, Michael Jackson didn't sleep for how many years then? Because that's not sleeping, you're just getting knocked out, right? So I assume that. That's crazy. Anyways, doctors have a lot of power. Let's hope they take care of people. And I would like to see more studies about when I'm going to die because of Toradol used it. I definitely did once a week, 17 weeks.
Do you want to know, though? Do you really want to know?
No. That's like, I have a couple friends in the league who, I watch a concussion movie, and I told him, hey, you watch this? I don't want to know. Smart.
Yeah.
Because I thought about you. I thought about you while watching it. Yeah, that's a smart idea. I think I view it the same way. I think I actually view it the same way.
Thanks for the text, though. Thanks for thinking of me when you saw a whole movie about head trauma.
No. It wasn't, you know, I mean, they brought it up, not me. It was just like, yeah.
You're probably far enough removed from it, though, aren't you?
I don't know, dude.
What?
I mean, I feel like if,
what?
I don't know. This shit. Who knows what, you know?
Who knows what was in that? Honestly.
Yeah. Eight straight years of it?
Yeah. It's a lot.
Once a week for...
No, only 7.5.
Does it cause internal bleeding, or does it cause everything?
Like, I wonder if it's like a blood thinner too, I wonder.
It's just a major bleed. And that's the worst thing, you know, when you get injured. Like, you don't want a bunch of blood or swelling going to it. Like
that's his... By the way, his arm, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what an anti-inflammatory is moving fluid and blood mostly away from something. So is it a blood thinner potentially? I have no idea. We don't know any of this shit. Man. All I know is it's not me, all right? It's not me.
Who is it then? Who got this thing rolling then, if it wasn't you?
You saw the picture of the guy. You just saw his phone number.
Andy Studebaker.
I don't know. Studebaker is not pumped to be the guy. That's pictures right below this.
His phone number.
I called him, by the way. Yeah. Called him immediately upon reading it. Where's this from?
That's that same article. That's
same
NFLPA, though.
Okay, this is the NFLPA releasing this, and this is the reason why. Due to the risk of Toradol causing major bleeding, specific recommendations include Toradol should not be used prior to, during, or after NFL games or practices as a means of reducing anticipated pain. Toradol should be given in its oral preparation under typical circumstances, as it is recognized that the oral preparation has a faster onset of action than the IM preparation. Has a duration action that is equivalent to the IM and IV forms, and has a plasma concentration time curve that is early identical to the IM and IV preparations. IM and IV injection of Toradol should not be used except following an acute game-related injury where visceral or central nervous system bleeding is not expected, and where other oral or intranasal pain medications are inadequate or not be tolerated. So
basically saying
that sounds like Andy Studebaker wrote that.
Yeah. Verbatim.
Sounds like Studi.
No, I'm joking. That was obviously what 400 lawyers and 5 doctors put that.
So they want you to take the pill, though. They want you to take the oral pill.
Yeah, and I read what they said on paper, though. That doesn't mean that's reality, though. I think we've all tried the...
Guys say it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's the middle of their paragraph there. As I was reading, I thought to myself, oh, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit here. You know,
the pill takes longer. I tried the pill before. That's what I did before the shot. It just takes way longer.
Would be harder on your insides, too. It has to go through your liver twice, a pill, rather than an injection.
Yeah, but the injection, what? That goes right to the whole body, right? That's the...
It's right in the blood, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Gump.
Yeah, I just, like, whenever... I mean, talking steroids, like, if you did injectables rather than orals, injectables are better for you because they only go through your bloodstream once rather than twice, like the pills.
Okay, so that is at Bubba Gumpino, who is not a doctor. Okay.
I would trust Gump over these doctors.
Okay, all right. Well, especially after. Yeah. But I would like everybody to know that's listening or watching, that was a Canadian guy, okay, who might have done his own research.
Yeah, does not have an MD.
We do not Gump. Necessarily want to
Canadians
be associated.
Canadians know their roids.
Hey, Canadians do.
To Gump's point, that was what they were warning against, I believe, wasn't it? Because it does accelerate internal bleeding and central nervous system issues. So they were saying, don't inject it, Gump, because it will do exactly what you just talked about.
Yeah. So what's the IM?
Intramuscular.
Yeah.
That's shot. An injection.
The shot.
And the IV is a drip? There's a difference there?
Yeah.
Intravenous.
Goes straight in the vein. Wait, when do you get a drip of Toradol?
No, you get. I think you get it. I don't know if I've never. I assume they do that, though, right?
I think they do that.
I just got it right in the.
Yeah,
right.
Most people just like. But I used to get an IV pregame too for hydration purposes. Fluids. So sometimes they would just.
Did I ever freak you out? Hey, sometimes I see.
They had the fucking worst.
Yes.
Like, cause you got nurses who do that daily, then you got these 70-year-old team doctors. Who do them once a week, and they're just pop, pop, pop. And I had hard veins to get into, so hated that.
Yeah, I remember watching, because I was never a big, like, hey, strap me up to a rocket here, pal. I need hydrated, even though, I was big-time sweater. I would lose some weight in preseason, okay? Don't worry about it. But, like, watching that whole thing happen, I always get, like, a little.
Mm-hmm.
But those respected doctors, like, kind of just playing like almost like whack-a-mole with these needles, trying to get them in there. I was like almost getting sick or whatever. And then that conversation happened. They're like, these doctors are even saying like, oh, we do this only a couple times.
Yeah, do it for you guys.
What?
That's it.
We don't do this at all. And it's like, ah, damn. Like, can we get somebody to maybe do a proper stabbing here? I mean, that is what you got to do. That's IV though. That's intravascular.
Not IM.
Not intramuscular.
Not intramuscular.
Would they have to wait, like the NFL, to do the whole weed transition if they were to think about that for it to be legalized federally? Like everywhere?
Yes. Yeah. That would have to happen. And then, because I thought in the United States of Goodell, when Denver.
Different rules.
Yeah, when Denver legalized it, I was like, everybody's going to go Broncos. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're going to learn a lot about the players that are trying to get to the Broncos. Because my first thought was, okay, it's Mile High and dope is legal. I love the Colts, but. Is there any way I could potentially maybe have the same rules here in India as there is in Denver, And then United States Goodell did write a memo to everybody. And they said, here in our particular country, we don't give a fuck about what the local laws are. Okay, don't be smoking any fucking dope.
Don't be smoking dope.
Basically what they said. And I think they even said until it's federally legalized or something like that, they won't even. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time, but I like the Megatrons getting in the game. Maybe some NFL owners will get in the game. I assume Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft will get in the game somehow. They'll see money off of
it. They're already in the game.
I would assume Jerry Jones has at least 4 or 5 grow houses.
You should.
At least out there somewhere. So sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know that if you're not gambling with FanDuel, you're wrong. Okay, FanDuel Sportsbook is available in 7 states, I believe, at this point. 6, 7, 8. You get it. If you're not gambling with FanDuel Sportsbook, though, you're completely wrong. And if we're not in your state yet, we are coming to your state. We have better odds. We have a much easier to use app. The convenience is next level. The people at FanDuel actually refund people when they shouldn't refund people, giving back hundreds of millions and millions of dollars to their users. FanDuel Sportsbook is the best sportsbook going for a lot of reasons, most of them what I just said. We are very thankful for our partnership with FanDuel, obviously. You know, there was a little bit of a miscommunication last week between myself and FanDuel. We worked that out. That's kind of how things operate whenever you're in a business relationship with each other. But even if we weren't in a business relationship with FanDuel, it'd be hard to say that we wouldn't use the FanDuel Sportsbook app. There are so many different ways to win. There's more things to bet on. Their boosts seem to always hit, which is just fucking themselves over time and time again. We love the hell out of FanDuel Sportsbook, and you will too. If you haven't used it yet, use it now. Also, there's fantasy on there, daily fantasy, and free-to-play games where you can win money. Shout out to FanDuel. Shout out to you. Let's get back to the show. We've had great discussions today about all things happening in the sports world. We've covered meteorology. We've covered big pharma. We've covered dope. We've covered football. We've covered NBA. We will talk golf at some point because people are getting escorted out by the police from the Memorial Golf Tournament in Ohio for screaming at Bryson DeChambeau. Let's go, Brooks! In the ever-evolving Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau golf beef that we are all here for. I don't know how it ends. I know Brooks got a lot more wins than Bryson has at the moment, but Bryson is golf ball whacker guy. I think AJ Hawks just joined us back in. We just called him and got connected to him. We also, hey, AJ, how's it going, dude?
Hey, AJ.
Is it a male or female? Because my wife's over there. I hope she didn't get rowdy.
Hey, it was full crew. I guess there was groups of people getting escorted out from what is being reported in your backyard, by the way. Aren't you right next door to that?
Yeah, I drove by it, dropped my kids off today. My wife's out there for a few hours today, so hopefully she's all right.
What's she doing? She working an event? She just hanging out, watching golf?
You know, it's a thing. It's a big party. You know, we have different people that, you know, their companies sponsor different things. So she's just hanging out watching some golf, I guess.
Oh, you go tent hopping at this tournament. You guys go tent to tent. That's around the greens, and that's kind of how it all goes. I did the open, or no, the open. No. Whatever's at the Oakmont.
Could have been a U.S. Open.
U.S. Open. Maybe. And we did not do it right. I mean, we paid a lot of money to get passes to walk that thing around. There's people that were in tents that had, like, air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they had a much better time than I had, I think. I don't know if I did it right. Is that what your wife's doing? Is that what you will do after this, by the way, for the rest of the weekend? You'll be over there?
No, I don't think. I don't know if I'm going to make it over or not. Maybe take some kids over on Sunday, like I usually go today, but obviously I've been doing this, and I could have gone to like 11:30. So,
you should have skipped this. I mean, we appreciate you.
Thank you, AJ.
Thank you, AJ. We appreciate you, but you should have skipped this for sure.
No, oh no, I've never missed this, especially when I booked Schlage's coming on here. Zito, he's texting me to said call back or something, so I don't know what's going on.
Okay, that's good booking, by the way. That's nice. Live maybe booking. That's letting a producer in the back know to call him back, because we call from office computer, studio computer, and it is under a different number, different name. I assume a lot of these people that we've never talked to before, it shows up, and I ain't fucking answering this. A FaceTime? Mm-hmm. Get out of here, dude. This ain't our life. The guy that's about to join us for the first time ever, Darius, have you ever heard of this dude before?
What's the name again?
Anthony Schlegel.
No, I'm not.
Could have lied. That's why Darius is Darius Butler. Yeah. You've seen him, though. The picture we used for the guest announcement today, he was a strength and conditioning coach, I think, at Ohio State or whatever. Somebody charged the field. He rock bottoms guy. Mm-hmm. Like, grabs guy who's wearing classic Sperry's, it looks like. Yeah, he's doing it. He rock bottoms kid.
Definitely seen him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He is now, I don't know his official title, but I know he's running the bodies down there for the Jacksonville Jaguar team. He is the director of
Head Strength and Conditioning
Coach. Head Strength and Conditioning Coach. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, not only a Buckeye hero, he's on a cereal box. Not only got it rock bottom, some random kid charging a field who deserved it 1,000%. Now, Head Strength and Conditioning Coach for one of the 32 NFL teams. There's only 32 of these jobs on planet Earth. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, down there in Duval County. Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Hawk's great friend, Anthony Schlegel.
Yeah!
Schlegs, what are you doing, dude?
I don't know. I'm trying to find my camera on this thing. I don't even know. What's up?
What are we doing? Hey, what do we have today? Did we work out today? I see we're sleeveless.
Got the guns out.
What do we got going on?
You know, got a little guns.
How's OTAs going? I want to let you know, Schlegs. We'd love to going to talk about everything Ohio State with you. Obviously, your icon there and the rock bottom of the player is awesome. Your friendship with AJ, we'll talk about all of that. But we just talked about, as somebody who's down there in Jacksonville, and I forget who told us, they said Urban was reaching out to him like, hey, when are you getting in the building? Like, we signed you, when are we getting in? This one, the boycott was talking, and then now there's the numbers are coming out of the amount of people that are down there. Trevor, I mean, Timmy Tebow is down there. What's the mentality? What's the mindset? We just saw the Chiefs. The Chiefs are in training camp mode right now, it feels like. How are the Jaguars? And I assume that's a big part of your job right now.
Absolutely. I mean, first off, it's humbling, one, to be a strength coach, like you said, one of 32. But they're just the amount of guys that we have. I mean, we had, I think we averaged 65 guys during OTA phase one. I mean, it was amazing. They were coming in, spilling it, working hard. And now days where we have all 90. And That's just a testament to, one, Coach Meyer, our coaching staff, our culture, the sports performance team, and the guys just buying in and going out there and working on the crowd. Because at the end of the day, the only reason I'm in it, one, being a former player, both you guys former players, it's all about the guys. And it's our job to increase their value and extend their career and, guess what, go win games. And when you present that to them and then you back it, man, and you have that high give-a-shit factor – they're all in, so it's just fun to be a part of.
Hey, Schlegs, we know you coached for Urban. There, the picture that they posted was you blasting the guy that charged the field. I'm sure we'll talk about it. So you coached for him back at Ohio State. Now you're with him there, the head guy in Jacksonville. Have you noticed any – like, is Urban able to coach these guys the same way he was able to coach in college?
I tell you what, man. There's one thing about Coach Meyer. He's great with people. And, yeah, he's hard. He's a hard coach. But – he cares about these guys. I mean, I've heard guys come up and talk to me like, I've never had a coach like that.
Huh.
These are pro guys. We're all pro guys. I've never had a coach.
What do they mean
like
there?
That.
Yeah, what does that mean? What do you mean? Like, he seems genuinely interested?
Genuinely interested. He gives a shit about him.
Oh, okay.
He understands there's a small window. You guys, we all know this. You have a small window. I only played 2 years in a freaking league. AJ, you played for 10. Pat, you played for a ton of years. It's like you have a small window to go make as much money as you possibly can playing the game you love. And guess what? Our job is to help you in the fundamentals, win games, and also rejuvenate your body and take care of you so you can extend your career.
Schlegs.
Boom, mind blown. I mean, guys love that.
Yeah. And by the way, that is like, whenever you talk about what you think a coach should be, it's like, that seems like what it should be. It's not always like that. Some people get too invested in either the X's and O's, the business side. They're like, hey, just show up. There's always something. And I think when Urban was talking about the free agency, you know, because he was signing people, he was like, I'm signing people these days. I haven't even met them yet. I haven't even shook their hand yet. Like, it feels like he does have that, like, connectivity, a connection with his players. It's nice to hear that that is translating into the NFL. Now,
yeah, he absolutely loves the guy. I mean, like, that's the best part of our job. I mean, there's nobody here. I'm just in a random room with a bunch of weights. Yeah, I love that. And I want to get bumpy sometimes and trade my face off. But yeah, guess what? It's 100 times better when there's people in it.
Yeah, I think there are some OTAs that aren't, you know, with a lot of people, their strength coaches losing their minds around the NFL, I'd assume. Let's talk about Urban Meyer, though, college to NFL. And you can sign a free agency. You bring in Trevor Lawrence, obviously. The team is going to need a reboot. But the big thing is, you know, in college you can recruit. And you can get, like, for instance, Ohio State's got this kid with a mullet who might be the greatest – yeah,
beautiful.
It's beautiful. He might be the greatest player to ever play football in the history of anything. But anyways, that's just like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Dabo. You know, there's like guys that are just known. They can recruit, and their players are better than everybody. In the NFL, the difference between talent is very, very small, even between the greatest and the guys that don't make it. What are you telling these guys to generate the best them possible? I assume strength coach, a lot of time is spent with the strength coach. A lot lot of time in the weight room. It's a different relationship than it is with the coaches. It's a different relationship than with the front office. What are you telling some of the either the young guys who don't know the league yet, because it feels like you might have a young roster, but also the guys like, hey, it's not that big of a difference in skill here as opposed to the college. Are you a motivational speaker in there, Schlags? What are we doing? What are we saying?
Oh, man. I mean, one, you got to make it individualized. So what we did, I mean, guys, we had 40 guys here before we even started OTAs. I mean, it's one of the things of Jacksonville. I mean, it's a great place to live. I just moved down here from Columbus, Ohio back. I mean, I think Coach got the job on the 15th. I was down here on the 17th. We had guys starting to come in. And what you do is you make it individualized for them, right? What are the areas of your game that you want to improve upon? Or is it acceleration? Is it your hip and quad flexibility? Do you need to get stronger lower body, upper body, more explosive, whatever, right? You come up with that individual plan for that athlete, and then they get to see the results of that. That's the biggest difference between what we do here and what I think you can do in the college level, because there's so many guys there. Now you can get into the weeds of what that guy needs. Plus, you have rookies to 8-10-year vets. They all need something different. I'm just not going to put a bar on a guy's back and say, hey, everybody does straight bar back squats. You don't do that.
Yep.
Right? You see what they need to extend their career and have a great season today, this year, and then you go do that. And when you invest that type of care in them, they're all in. And so I'll give you a quick snippet. We wanted to work on accelerations for our wide receivers, 3 steps and 5 yards. We filmed every single acceleration they did for them and then cut it and put it in their own private bucket, because guys don't want to watch other guys. They want to watch themselves getting back. That takes a lot more time, energy, and effort to do, but guess what? They love it. And so they can see that, and they can use that to coach themselves as to what I need to do to get better.
Schlags, hey, so I'm just wondering if you feel some added pressure now. So I know Timmy Tebow signed with the team. We've seen the pictures. This dude is absolutely jacked.
He's jacked.
Are you worried that
– he's bigger than you.
Yeah, let's say he comes in there, Schlags, and all of a sudden – 4 weeks into the program, he looks like he's shrunk a little bit and lost some muscle. Are you worried that that's going to be on you?
Wow.
No. Hey, listen, I can't have Tim losing weight. First off, he's not, because he eats all the time. He takes care of his body. I will say this. He made me self-conscious. So he rolled in here sleeveless. I like wearing sleeveless because it's Florida. I want to get tan. I've been living in, you know, Ohio in the Midwest. Yeah, exactly. You come to Florida, I don't want to have a farmer's tan. I want to have like a nice broad tan.
Oh, redneck tan. Yeah. Farmer, redneck. Yeah. We know the deal. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. So when I go back and see my wife, you know, it's like, hey, Papa Schlags looks good. I'm tanned up. He walks in the building the first week. My dudes on the staff are like, Schlags, you might want to put your shirt back on. Because Tim is jacked. You know, and we got a bunch of yoked up dudes. So, guess what? Papa Schlags better get his mind right. I'm not posting the videos anymore because you can't, you know, I can't be in here training in jeans and combat boots like I normally do. Carhartts are out of the window because it's 90 degrees down here, but I still got to get after it because, you know, when called upon, I have to respond. And that's the other thing. like on Fridays, guys come in if they want to get extra work. Let's get bumpy, man. Hey, who wants to work out today with me? All right, let's go. And I had Tyler Shally. We were doing manual shoulders. He's an offense lineman. He absolutely beat the crap out of me. And I was like, are you coming back this week? Because I want some more. it's just fun banter back and forth.
Darius Butler played 9 years in the league. Has a question for you.
Hey, what's up, Coach? Nice to meet you, man. I played played for two great strength conditioning coaches, Jerry Martin at UConn and Mike Warsick up there in New England. Was it any coaches that you looked up to or you like, you know, saw and said inspired you to be that?
You know, Warsick is one. Like he's touched so many different lives. He genuinely cares about his people. Marcus Paul, who recently passed, was one I had him when I was with the Jets. For me, you know, Mickey Marotti was one coming from Ohio State. And I grew up Brian Dobson, my dad. Brian Dobson was a gym, Metroplex gym that I worked at growing up. I mean, he owned it, he ran it, he trained me. But it was all of them shared this one thing in common. It's always about the attitude and intensity of which you train. but pushing their athletes and that relationship with the athlete. That's why I became a strength and conditioning coach and not a position coach, because I wanted to be around all of them.
Yep.
And I think you'd have a greater impact as a strength coach, which is why I chose the profession. And then, you know, like you said, and it's a very small profession, and I know so many of the guys that are in the league that I still have conversations with now. Being able to share information back and forth now that I'm in it and I'm in Jacksonville and I got guys that are in my division that I know, and guys, you know, like Aaron's former, he's still with the Packers, right? I mean, Chris up there, he's a Northeast Ohio guy. You know, you get, it's a very small community that you have each other's back, that you can talk about training, you can talk about guys, you can talk about hangups that you're going to see when you go to camp, or, hey, we're dealing with COVID. I mean, you want to talk about logistics and operations and what are you guys doing to, you know, still serve your athletes in the best possible manner, having to deal with COVID protocols. I mean, we could only train 20 guys in the building, or only have 20 guys in the building during, what was it, pre-OTAs. Then it became, I can only have 15 guys in the weight room. Mm. What are we talking about? Right? And now I can divide my weight room with a curtain and have 15 on one side and 15 on another, and then 15 outside, so I can have 45 guys at a time.
Well, hey, Schlakes, you're doing a great job with it, pal. Hey, coach.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
What are we doing?
Hey, what are we doing? Hey, we beat it, though, by the way. Especially down here in Florida. You take that sleeves off. Feels like we beat that thing out here. We beat it. Now, you can't say that because you'll get yelled at, whatever, but I can. I'm sports stooge. It has to feel good, and I assume talking to other strength and conditioning coaches, you can get the gist that maybe there's some jealousy in some places. Sounds like the Khan family is going to build Urban whatever the fuck he wants right now. I mean, it sounds like they're building an entire new city. And this is, obviously it's good business for Jacksonville Jaguars to get people in their hotel and everything like that. But also the sports performance, everything they're building. This is a golden opportunity for Urban with an owner that seems to be all in. You getting a chance to display your, I mean, this, I would assume the mood around the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you weren't there beforehand, is much different now than it was just a year ago or 2 years ago. It feels like they're kind of going all in, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always like to say charge it to win it, right? Well, how do you win in the National Football League? You take care of your players. You know, if in our league, if I have healthy guys every single Sunday, I have a greater opportunity to win football games than if I'm missing five starters on defense. That's just facts. So if I can rejuvenate them and give them everything they possibly need from strength conditioning, nutrition, rejuvenation, and I like rejuvenation more than recovery, because where do you recover to? I want to rejuvenate to max capacity.
Woo! So you have
that in, exactly. So you have that in there. You have your athletic training. All those different things come together along with a facility, right? Then you talked about the four seasons and the med center and a performance center there too. Everything needs to be in one place for the athlete. You know, that's coach's vision that I share 100% is that every resource you need to extend your career and be successful on the field should be free to you and in one location. And that's what they're doing. And when to have an owner that is willing to spend that type of capital, I saw our president the other day before they launched the thing. I just said, hey, bro, I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you're doing for our players. Thank you.
It's real.
Hey, what about the so the old wrestling angle? We know Urban handed his laptop over. Chris Jericho blasted Deuce.
What was in there?
Charlie Strong's throwing footballs. Were you there? Did you get to work out with Jericho? Like, what happened?
No. Why? I mean, I didn't get that memo.
That's a shame.
You know, maybe they haven't read my resume or seen it on YouTube. I can wrestle. I grew up wrestling. I have a wrestling background.
Wow.
I'm pretty animated. I'm sure I could follow a script and go rogue.
Ain't no script out there. Okay. Yeah.
It's all real. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely have done something. But you know what though? Like, the more that you can do, right? Hey, here's this laptop. Yeah, smash that, dude. Awesome. Now, it was just great because AEW's right here. The venue is, like, right outside these doors. So to have that, you know, kind of collaboration is really fun, and our guys get a kick out of it.
The boys at the Toxic Table here have plenty of questions.
Come on, hit me with questions.
No. Well, I have my last one here is Tim Tebow, everything you thought he was going to be? Like every workout, every practice? Is it just because outside when he got signed, he was hated. I mean, it was a hated decision. We, you know, he's a Jacksonville legend. This is Tim Tebow. Him and Urban Meyer's relationship runs deep, obviously. And who, if Tim Tebow is running, looking the way he is, maybe this guy can, basketball players have figured out how to play tight end. Maybe Tim Tebow can do it. Who knows how this whole thing pans out in that whole thing. What has it been like with Tim Tebow coming into that building, that team? And also Trevor, how has Trevor been dealing with maybe the Tebow effect? Or you think that is dealt with anything at all?
Yeah, I would say for Trevor, zero effect. He just comes in and works and grinds. And you work with Brian Schottenheimer, one of the best coaches in the NFL with quarterbacks. So he's fine working with Tim. I mean, first off, you come in, our units are fantastic. I mean, you come into a tight end room, we got James O'Shaughnessy, Chris Manhurts, Ben Ellison, Tyler Davis, great room, bunch of hardworking guys. You add Tim into the mix, he's fantastic. He takes care of himself, and he goes out there and he practices hard. It doesn't matter what your name is or who you are. Like, you got to go out there and add value to the team. And whenever we get to camp and you get to put the pads on, when you really play football, you know, if you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. But I tell you what, though, from everything that is done here, guys generally like him and respect it, and he just goes out there and does his job. And that's all you can expect. And I don't understand why people get so pissy about those type of things. They shouldn't. You know, if you can make it, you can make it. And I'll tell you this, too. My mindset to everybody, I don't care who you are, undrafted free agent, first-round draft pick, doesn't matter, man. We're gonna do everything we possibly can to maximize you.
That's why. Hey, that, by the way, that's why strength coaches are loved by everybody right
love
there.
Them.
And I love that you do just fit the mold perfectly. Also an ex-player, which is fantastic. Go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, Papa Schlags. Sticking with Tebow, a story was surfacing that when he was 14 years old, he did 316 curls of 55 pounds. Can you clarify that story, or
I can't clarify that story. The way his biceps look now, I mean, yeah, he was getting bumpy when he was, right, would you say 13 years old?
Yeah, 14. 14,
pretty impressive.
Getting bumpy.
Pretty impressive. I might have to go try to replicate that and tear my biceps off.
Yeah, you'll tear them. That is 100% bullshit.
Radio.
Hey, whoa.
No way. No way, Tim Tebow.
He couldn't move his arms for 3 days.
Get out of here.
His hands were locked like this.
Get out of here.
There was one kid behind him. He didn't want to leave any doubt that he was going to beat that kid.
Yes, we beat you. All right.
Just random stories. It's the best.
Go ahead, Ty.
Coach Slakes, going back to you and AJ's athletic primes at Ohio State or in the league, if you guys were to go head up one-on-one, are you putting AJ's ass into the dirt? How does that shake
yes.
out?
Yes, he
First
is.
First off, AJ's way more athletic. I mean, he's way more athletic than me. So you can't even say athleticism there because it's like here and then I don't know where my camera is or where you can see me, all right, but – AJ is super athletic. He's a freak. Bobby was athletic and a freak. Like, I am not, you know, I just was a tough guy that wanted to knock your dick off.
Sledgehammer head, huh? Is that AJ? Is that what,
Look at his jaw. We, like, for real, we still, when we get together, we punch Slag's jaw.
He punched me.
The Jacksonville Jaguars head of strength and conditioning gets punched in the face every single time he sees his old college roommates because they love his jawline. You are an absolute specimen. Never would have guessed this guy was going to be a strength and conditioning coach. Oh, Schlags, we appreciate you, man. What do you guys have? You have a long weekend? Was it Monday through Thursday? What's the schedule?
Yeah, Monday through Thursday, and we come back and we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, rejuve day, and then another practice Thursday, and then we got mini camp the following week. So, you know, I get on a plane, I fly home to Columbus, Ohio, see my family, and get rejuvenated, and I fly back, and I spill it for our guys. That's the MO.
I'd be.
Shad let you use it? Shad give you his plane?
Small plane. Saw Urban on it.
No, man. It's Southwest, baby.
Hey, that's where you want to be anyways. That's where Schlags is. Yeah. You're, by the way, you know, kind of rounding up everybody. Let's go. Let's get on this plane and then motivating the plane, by the way. Hey, let's get back on the ground here. Mm-hmm. Let's do that entire thing. I'd be a terrible host if I didn't ask.
Yeah, hit me.
Trevor Lawrence. How, why, is he's supposed to be the guy since he's like 10 years old, basically. He seems to be just like one of the coolest customers of all time. He gave some quotes in, I think, a GQ article or something like that, where he said, you know, if I lost football, it wouldn't kill me, and people would start taking that a question. It's like, this guy, he's the guy, has been the guy. Seems like he's been a professional almost his entire life. Is that kind of what it's like with him around? And how do you think he's kind of handled his first couple months here as being an NFL quarterback?
He's done fantastic. I mean, his routine is a pro-like routine, just coming right out of college. He comes in the weight room, he handles his business. He gets all of his rejuvenation, you know, doing his film study with Brian. Everything that he does, he's already becoming a leader on the team just simply by his actions, without even sitting on the field for one game. It's just his presence, right? That's what great leaders, great athletes do, right? They're game changers, not only in the game, but with their teammates. And so, you know, from everything that I've been able to, you know, all the times I've been able to be around him so far, he's exceeded expectations. He's already gaining weight. He loves training. He loves everything about football.
How much weight are you trying to get him to gain, Slags?
What weight is relative, right? What is that?
He's gaining weight, Papa Schley. You literally just said,
definitely gonna, hey, man, eat big, sleep big, train big.
Hey.
You know, I would say weight is relative, especially when you look at the NFL. It's when you feel – I'll give you guys a prime example, man. I'm in the NFL playing special teams. Hey, Schley, you're 250 pounds. You're fat as hell because you eat an entire bag of Oreos when we play Tiger Woods golf. You know what? If you want to make a roster, how about you be 235, bend and play in space and run for days? All right, that's good. Guess what? That's your weight. You know? Hey, I have a bad knee. I got a bend. Okay, guess what? You don't need to be 260. Maybe it's 250 is your number. Right? So it's all relative to the guy being to where he can perform at his max capacity. That's really the number. But, you know, as you guys know, this is a violent game. So to be able to handle the hits in a 17-game season now, yeah, you're going to have to put on a little more weight than you had in college, but what can he handle and still be able to do? What makes him so special?
Yeah, it was like Andrew. Andrew had to, like, kind of had a fine balance. There was a couple times where Andrew came back and he looked, I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm like,
yeah, he was jacked.
Yeah. Was he bigger than you?
Oh, yeah.
Was he lifting more than you think, Andrew?
No.
Hey, people were saying he was potentially lifting weight, but then there were some times where he was a little bit smaller, and I wonder how the body reacted. I mean, that's a tough game. Good luck out there, Papa Schlegs. We appreciate you so much. You're the best, dude.
I appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good luck out there. Make sure everybody, you know, dominates this year down there for Duval. It seems like you guys are building something very special, and that is a very real thing. I don't think that would have been said about Jacksonville a lot in the past. I mean, there was that year where Blake goes, and then the defense was unbelievable, and then that whole thing got torn down. It was just like, it really has a special feel from outside. I assume you guys feel it the same way inside. It's a cool thing to be a part of, Schlegs.
Yep, absolutely, and I'm humbled to be a part of it. So we're just going to keep it rolling, baby. Go Jags, Duval!
Whoa! Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Schlegel. Thank
All right, that's the show. Once again, we appreciate the hell out of all you guys for listening. We couldn't do any of this without you. Hashtag end of pod squad. Keep sending in your pictures of where you're listening to the podcast. We'll continue to give money out to you guys throughout the course of the summer. We appreciate the hell out of you. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Cheers. What's up, everybody? It is Friday, June 4th, and you are listening to the Pat McAfee Show 2.0. Pat's on his way over to SmackDown right now. We still got a great show from today. Darius Butler joins us live from the FanDuel Beach House down in Tampa. AJ Hawk, obviously, and new strength and conditioning coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Anthony Schlegel, joins the program as well for a great conversation. We appreciate you guys all for listening. Without further ado, let's get into it. All right, that's the show. Once again, we appreciate the hell out of all you guys for listening. We couldn't do any of this without you. Hashtag end of pod squad. Keep sending in your pictures of where you're listening to the podcast. We'll continue to give money out to you guys throughout the course of the summer. We appreciate the hell out of you. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Cheers.